الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, in a previous class we have began reading from the chapter the author he mentioned رحمه الله باب ذكر أخلاق من يقرأ على المقرئ, the chapter with regards to the manners of the one who recites to the teacher, and with regards to the manners of the student who is studying and learning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have seen some benefits that the author he mentioned with regards to that, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and his manners and etiquettes, and the way that he will sit in front of his teacher humbly, and he will have great respect and honor for his teacher likewise, and he will suffice with the directions and the guidance of his teacher as well, and he will also know his own level and his own status and rank, and he will suffice with that which is enough for him to continue learning and moving on the path of seeking knowledge. We have seen a number of issues that the author he had mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and from the most important of them is that honoring the teacher and the people of knowledge is from the religion. As Tawus he mentioned, teaching his son that honoring the scholars and the people of knowledge, sunnah, is a sunnah, meaning it's the deen, meaning it's a part of the religion, and it will be done sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we have seen the narration of Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, إِنَّ مِنْ إِجْلَالِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِكْرَامٌ حَامِلُ الْقُرْآنِ غَيْرِ الْغَالِي فِيهِ وَلَا الْجَافِي عَنْهُ. The honoring, from honoring and revering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is showing respect and honor to the carrier of the Qur'an, the one who carries it the proper and correct manner, who does not go to extremes with regards to it, nor is he negligent in its application. This narration is authentic, collected by Al-Imam Abu Dawood, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And also we have seen the narration as well of Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu, also reported authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarifying that those who are truly following the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are those who recognize and know the rights of the people of knowledge, the rights of the people of knowledge. So this is something that is performed as a religion, min as sunnah, to have tawqir and honor and respect for the people of knowledge. We have seen a number of examples likewise from the companions, from the head of them, Abdullah ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, and how he would honor Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, and we have seen examples with regards to that. We continue reading some narrations that I have collected with regards to this affair, clarifying the great status of the people of knowledge, the teachers of the religion, and those who carry the Quran, specifically those who carry it in the manner prescribed, and they are role models for the people and leaders for the Muslims. They should be honored, and honoring them is from the deen, and respecting them is from the means to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise to truly benefit. Some of the narrations they have proceeded from that was the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma. He clarified, ذُلِّلْتُ طَالِبًا فَعُزِّزْتُ مَطْلُوبًا. This is where we had stopped at, that I humbled myself as a student and I was honored whenever I became sought after. ذُلِّلْتُ طَالِبًا يعني كُنْتُ طَالِبًا ذَلِيلًا, that I was a student of knowledge, whenever I was a seeker of knowledge, that I humbled myself, meaning humbled myself before my teachers. And therefore, as a recompense from that, فَعُزِّزْتُ مَطْلُوبًا. And then whenever I was sought after, and whenever the people came to me to learn, I was honored. I was honored. We've seen examples of that. Likewise, how he would go to the doors of some of the Ansar, and he would wait there at the dhuhr time, in the heat and in the wind, and he would take, he said, radiallahu anhu, كُنْتُ أَتَوَسَّدُ رِدَائِي, I would take my rida, yani my garment, as a wisada, meaning as a pillow, and I would lay there and rest. And the wind would throw dirt and dust into my face, and I would sit outside of the door and not awake him or bother him until he came out freely, and so that he could seek knowledge and learning, ask questions and benefit. And we also see in a narration from Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, whenever he was asked how he obtained all of that knowledge that he obtained, and he said, radiallahu anhuma, bilisanin sa'ul wa qalbin aqul, bilisanin sa'ul wa qalbin aqul, with a tongue that's constantly asking questions, and he asking questions in the proper manner and with the proper intention, and in the good way, in the good way, to ask questions and to be concerned, to think about affairs in detail and to ponder and reflect over them and to want to know the answer and the solution for these affairs and the proper understanding of the issues of the religion in aqidah and in creed and iman and likewise in regulation and law and legislation, rulings and the likes like this, to know the detailed and the proper understanding, to be concerned with that, to think about that, to ponder over that. If somebody reads a verse, he didn't understand it properly, it would hit in his heart and it would bother his mind, and he will want to know and he will seek knowledge, he will search, he will go to the people of knowledge and ask. If he has the ability, then he will search in the proper resources from the proper books, so on and so forth. Any meaning it would concern him, bilisan and sa'ul wa qalbin aqul, and with a heart likewise that is aqul, yani that it ponders and reflects and thinks deeply. So we read a number of narrations that we have from As-Salaf As-Salih. From that is what Ayyub As-Sikhtiyani, he mentioned, rahimahullah, he died in the year 131. He said, كَانَ رَجُلُ يَجْلِسُ إِلَى الْحَسَنِ الْبَصْرِ ثَلَاثَ السِّنِينَ فَلَا يَسْأَلُهُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ هَيْبَةً لَهُ. That he said, a man, he would sit with Al-Hasan al-Basri for 3 years without asking him a single question out of fear and reverence for him. Out of fear and reverence for him, and he honoring him and respecting him and the likes like this, and that they would be afraid to even speak in front of him. And this is Al-Hasan al-Basri. He died in the year 110, from the great scholars of the Tabi'een, from the best of the students of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum jami'an. وقال عبد الرحمن بن حرملة الأسلمي ما كان إنسان يجترئ أن يسأل سعيد بن مسيب عن شيء حتى يستأذنه كما يستأذن الأمير. عبد الرحمن بن حرملة الأسلمي رحمه الله, he said, no one would dare to ask Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah, from the great scholars of the Tabi'in. And he was also married to the daughter of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, from the great scholars of Hadith and the great scholars of the Sunnah and the great carriers of the Quran. It was mentioned about him that no one would even dare to ask him a question without first seeking his permission. In the same manner, they would seek permission from the ruler. And they would honor him in this manner. They would honor them in this manner. And we know that the people of authority are two types. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. You must obey Allah and obey the messenger and the people of authority over you. The people of authority over you, the people of authority, the governmental authority. No doubt about that. The rulers and the people of status in government and position of authority, and likewise the religious authority. The religious authority. So they would respect the people of knowledge in this manner. Rather, they would honor them and revere them like the emir, like he was the ruler, like he was the governor, like he was the person in charge of the country and the likes like this, rather even greater than that in certain circumstances. So also it's been narrated from Mughira ibn Miqsam al-Dhabi. He says, كُنَّا نَحَابُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ النَّقَعِ كَمَا يُحَابُ الْأَمِيرِ. That we used to fear, revere, honor and respect Ibrahim al-Naqai the same way the people, they would fear the commander, the leader, the Muslim ruler. وَقَالَ مُحَمَّدِ ibn Sirin, رحمه الله, رَأَيْتُ ابْنَ أَبِي لَيْلَى وَأَصْحَابُهُ يُعَظِّمُونَهُ وَيُسَوِّدُونَهُ وَيُشَرِّفُونَهُ مِثْلَ الْأَمِيرِ. Muhammad ibn Sirin, he died in the same year as Al-Hasan al-Basri, رحمه الله, which was in the year 110. He said, I saw Ibn Abi Layla, and from the great scholars of Hadith likewise, and his companions, meaning his students, they're treating him with great reverence, honoring him and exalting him as if he were a ruler, as if he were the ruler. وقال أبو عاصم كنا عند ابن عون وهو يحدث فمر بنا إبراهيم ابن عبد الله ابن حسن في مركبه وهو إذ ذاك يدعى إماما بعد قتل أخيه محمد فما جسر أحد أن يلتفت للنظر إليه فضلا عن أن يكون هيبة لابن عون Abu Asim, from the students of Hadith, he said, we were in the gathering of Ibn Aun. We were in the gathering of Ibn Aun, rahimahullah, whenever he's narrating Hadith. At that same moment, when they're in the class, studying with Ibn Aun, rahimahullah, Ibrahim ibn Abdullah ibn Hassan, he passed by in his procession. And at this time, he was considered the imam after the killing of his brother. And this person, he had just taken authority. He's the Muslim ruler at this time, and his procession is passing by as the students are in their gathering with Ibn Aun, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said, yet none of us even dare to turn our heads to look at him, let alone stand up out of fear and reverence for Ibn Aun. out of fear and reverence for Ibn Aun, meaning they're respecting the people of knowledge even greater than they respect the Amir, along with the fact that the Amir is respected and honored, along with the fact that the Amir is respected and honored. So these narrations here, they clarify the deep reverence and humility that early generations they had for the people of knowledge. For the people of knowledge. And this is because they understood the blessing of knowledge and the status of knowledge, and the means to obtain knowledge is by being humble and being diligent. And likewise, by having noble conduct and good manners. Having noble conduct and good manners, especially with those who are teaching. Especially with those who are teaching. This is the manner to get the knowledge from those who carry it. By coming with noble manners and good conduct and etiquettes. By coming with noble manners, good conduct, and etiquette. So the true students of knowledge, those who are striving on the way properly, they're known from their manners and their conduct, and known for their humbleness and their diligence, and they're known from their perseverance and their patience, and they're known for their forbearance and their chastity, and they're known for their truthfulness and honesty and integrity and their faith and in their religion and that which they carry from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that which they carry from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they revere and show great honor and respect for their teachers, without going to extremes, without transgressing the boundaries and the limits like some people they have done in this regards. Qala Sufyan al-Thawri li Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Qala Sufyan al-Thawri li Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, he died in the year 161. And Ibn Uyayna, he died in the year 198. Whenever they come together, they're known as Sufyanan. As-Sufyanan, the two Sufyan. And he's from the greatest scholars of hadith, both of them is Sufyan. Sufyan al-Thawri and Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Of course, Sufyan al-Thawri, he's greater. And he has a higher status. He's a bit older and the likes like this. Although they're similar in their level, Sufyan al-Thawri, he has a rank above him. So Sufyan, he said to Sufyan al-Thawri, he said to Ibn Uyayna, rahimahumullah, ma laka la tuhadith? Ma laka la tuhadith? Why aren't you narrating? Why aren't you narrating narrations? Why aren't you benefiting the people? فَقَالَ أَمَا وَأَنْتَ حَيْ فَلَا أَمَا وَأَنْتَ حَيْ فَلَا. He says, why do you not narrate narrations? Why are you not benefiting the people? He replies, so as long as you're alive, I'm not going to. He said, by Allah, I'm not going to. And meaning, as long as you're alive and you're with me right now, then I'm silent. You're the one who's speaking. I'm silent. You're the one who is speaking. So the people of knowledge, they say, إِذَا حَضَرَ الْمَاء بَطَرَ التَّيَمُّمْ. بَطَرَ التَّيَمُّمْ. يعني بَطَرَ الْبَدِيلِ. Like if you're out of water, it's allowed for you to make tayammum from the clean earth. But if water comes, then that replacement is gone. Is gone. So they mention the likes of this in these circumstances like this. So this is how a student, he will look at himself. If he has benefit and there's no one there who can handle the situation or benefit the people or direct them in the manner that is needed at that time, then he will speak up, no doubt about that. And he will not be silent. He'll not be silent and leave the people in their desires or misguidance or deviation or in their wrong understanding and the likes like this. Rather, he will speak up and benefit them. But if there's somebody there that's qualified and that is greater than him or that has a status higher than him, then he will be silent. He will know his situation. He will know his circumstance and he will not speak up. He will not speak up. Rather, he will let those who are above him and more qualified and have more right to speak in that particular gathering speak, and he will be silent. So this is a beautiful example of humbleness and humility and the manners of the people of knowledge between themselves. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, refused to speak in the presence of his teacher, even though they're close, and even in the presence of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, out of deep respect and honor for him and recognizing his right. And this is an example again, barakallahu fikum, of how the Salaf, they would apply the narrations. They would apply the narrations. They narrate to us these narrations that is from the deen, and is from the good way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to know the right of the scholar. So therefore they gave the scholar his right. To know the right of the people of knowledge and to honor those who carry the Qur'an and the Sunnah for the sake of Allah, hoping for the honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you find that they implemented that. So they are true in their knowledge and their humbleness, and they did not try to promote themselves and try to use that knowledge, waliyadhi billah, to gain a status in this worldly life. Rather, they're seeking Allah with their knowledge. They're seeking Allah with their knowledge. And this is why they reached the status that they reached, radiyallahu anhum. Qala Ata'a, rahimahullah. Atta, he mentioned, Atta ibn Abi Rabah, rahimahullah, he says, إِنِّي لَأَسْمَعُ الْحَدِيثَ مِنَ الرَّجُلِ وَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِهِ مِنْهُ فَأُرِيهِ مِنْ نَفْسِي أَنِّي لَأُحْسِنُ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. He said, I will hear a narration from a man, even though I know it better than he does, yet I show him as if I'm concerned that I know nothing better than him. And he just to clarify the humbleness of the people of knowledge, the humbleness of the people of knowledge. So even sometimes a person maybe will have more knowledge than another, but he will not be arrogant or proud with regards to that and show the people that he knows. Rather, he will be humble and he will be gentle with his knowledge, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and status and rank and the lofty level and the seeking the lofty level and status and rank with Allah, not with the people. It's been mentioned from Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he died in the year 204. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَذُقْ مَرَّ التَّعَلُّمِ سَعَةً تَجَرَّعَ ذُلَّ الْجَهْلِ طُولَ حَيَاتِهِ وَمَنْ فَاتَهُ التَّعْلِيمُ وَقْتَ شَبَابِهِ فَكَبِّرْ عَلَيْهِ أَرْبَعًا لِوَفَاتِهِ. He mentioned rahimahullah that whoever does not taste the bitterness of learning for a moment will swallow the humiliation of ignorance for the rest of his life. A person, he must humble himself to learn and seek knowledge. And it's not easy for those who are arrogant and for those who are proud to sit still and to be patient and the likes in front of somebody else and to learn from them and in confessing that they do not know and they're seeking knowledge, hoping to learn. So the one who does not taste the bitterness and this bitterness of seeking knowledge and learning for some time, then he's going to swallow the rest of his life humiliation, the humiliation of ignorance. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And whoever misses out on learning during his youth, then he said, make the four takbirat for him because of his death. And whoever does not take advantage whenever he's young, if he had that opportunity to learn, then many times he's going to miss out in his old age. So this is the case in general. This is a reminder for the youth. But those who are older, they should not have despair. And many of the Sahaba, they sought knowledge and they learned and became from the greatest scholars of Islam whenever they're older. Whenever they were elders. Many of them, they did not accept Islam until their elders, radiallahu anhum. So no doubt it's not an excuse. But someone who is young and he's a believer at a young age and he has the opportunity to benefit from that young age and the energy of the youth and the likes like this, then he should definitely take advantage of that. Seeking knowledge and learning and not waste that in frivolous affairs from the affairs of that the youth, some of them are tried with, from their worldly life and from the affairs of the dunya of joke, gesture, and play and amusement. قال الشافعي رحمه الله لا يطلب أحد هذا العلم بالملك وعز النفس لا يطلب أحد هذا العلم بالملك وعز النفس فيفلح ولكن من طلبه بذل النفس وضيق العيش وخدمة العلماء أفلح. So he mentioned likewise, rahimahullah, that no one seeks this knowledge while holding on to pride and self-importance and succeeds. And he's thinking that he's good or trying to have authority and to be better than others, except that he will fail. This is not the case. The way to truly obtain knowledge and to benefit is to be humble. And knowledge is resembled to rain and many evidences in the book and the sunnah. And the hearts are resembled to the earth and the valleys are resembled to the earth and the valleys. So whenever the rain falls, it's the lowlands that truly benefit from the water. And the water collects in the lowlands and brings benefit and goodness for the people and the animals. As for the highlands and the water, it brings little benefit. It will hit the highlands and roll to the bottom. And this is the example of the arrogant student and the humble student. The student who is arrogant, then the knowledge comes down from, it comes and it goes. The knowledge, it comes and it goes, and there's little benefit. As for the humble student, then the knowledge, it comes and it sinks and it rests and takes a place and brings great benefit by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one seeks this knowledge while holding on to pride and self-importance and succeeds. But the one who seeks it by humbling himself and during a constrained life and he going through difficulty and hardship and serving the people of knowledge, indeed he will be successful. So many times the path of knowledge is a difficult path. Sometimes a person who will face poverty or who will face hardship or who will face difficulty on the path of knowledge. And if not, alhamdulillah, if he doesn't face that, the financial hardships and difficulties, then no doubt there's difficulty in leaving one's family and being in strange lands and the likes like this. And even if that was not the case, there's still difficulty in striving against the desires of the soul to leave off the worldly life and the distractions and to truly devote oneself entirely to seeking knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to benefit from one's time. A person, he's going to go through some difficulty and hardships. He's going to have to give up a lot of the delights of this worldly life, while the brothers are out playing and running around, or while other brothers are out doing business and making money, he's going to be dedicated to seeking knowledge, memorizing and learning, researching and reviewing and verifying and checking and writing down and the likes like this, and taking notes and seeking knowledge and striving. But the one who is sincere in that way, he will find in that path that which he will never find in playing games or joking or in any other business or any other trade, from happiness and joy that he finds and the great gems and treasures that he obtains from the path of seeking knowledge for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he's mentioning here, one of the points is that the way to benefit is to be patient and to endure these hardships and to serve the people of knowledge. And to be with them and under their direction and to benefit from them as much as possible, again, without going to extremes. And in these days, wallahu musta'an, people go to great extremes with the scholars, and many times this is because they have foul and lowly intentions, and they hope to be close to them in order to manipulate the people by having a connection or a close relationship with the people of knowledge. So this is something that the devil, he would entice and tempt the people, the students of knowledge, with regards to that a person, he will hope to be close to the scholars in order to benefit from them, and to learn from them, not in order to be known by way of them or to have authority based upon that knowledge, or connect, make a connection with the people of knowledge in order to have a status with the people, to have leverage over the people. All of this is from a foul way. But he's mentioning here serving the people of knowledge. From Mujahid, rahimahullah, he says, Sahibtu ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, fi safar li akhdimahu fakana yakhdimuni. He says, Mujahid is also the great student of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum. He says, I accompanied Abdullah ibn Umar on a journey intending to serve him, yet he is the one who wound up serving me, serving the people of knowledge. This is his intention. He's seeking knowledge. He wants to travel with Abdullah ibn Umar. He says, hatta akhdimahu, so that I can serve him. I want to travel with Abdullah ibn Umar so that I can serve him. He said, وَكَانَ يَخْدِيمُنِي. And he said, in the whole time, in the whole journey, he's serving me. So he's a student. And he is traveling with his teacher, who was a great companion, the son of a great companion, radiyallahu anhuma. And he's hoping to serve him and benefit him. Like what Imam Shafi is mentioning here, rahimahullah. But because of his nobility himself and his honor, he wound up being the one serving him. So he's going to serve and he's getting served. He's taking care of him and looking after him and the likes like this. And this is, yani, from the beautiful ways of the people of knowledge. This reminds me of a story I heard about our Sheikh Abdurrahman Muhyiddin, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that one time he had traveled, if I remember correctly, to Germany, and he's staying in the home with some brothers. And the brothers, they woke up early. One of them woke up early before Fajr, and the Sheikh is already awake. And he's in the kitchen doing the dishes. And the man, he traveled from Medina on an airplane, and his old, rahimahullah, and he came as a teacher to teach them. And this is from the lessons that we learn. That he came in this manner to teach, and he's in their house, humbly waking up before anyone while they're sleeping and doing the dishes. Rahimahullah wa ta'ala, taking care of business. Allahu Akbar. Serving the students of knowledge. SubhanAllah, whenever we would visit Sheikh Zayd and Madkhali, rahimahullah, likewise, him and his family, his children, they serve us. They would not allow us to purchase anything. Not a hotel room, not any food, not breakfast, not dinner, nothing. They cover everything. And for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, making sure everybody is good. And there's a number of students. So a person, he will want to go meet the scholars and learn from them, and he'll wind up benefiting in more manners than he can even imagine. More manners than he can even imagine. Whenever the first time we went to Samita, to visit Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali rahimahullah, we all saving our money to go there. We're saving our money to go. The students of knowledge, we don't have lots of money. So we're saving our money to go there. We're going there, we don't have much money. We have enough to get by. And whenever we left with more money than we came with. Rahimahullah, because he's so generous, helping the students of knowledge. And we didn't come for this. That's not where we came. That's not my point. My point is to clarify that even you go to serve or to benefit the people of knowledge, but they wind up benefiting you. They wind up benefiting. We came for knowledge. We left with knowledge and deen and dunya. Alhamdulillah, it's taking care of the students of knowledge. Taking care of the students of knowledge. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It's been narrated from Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. He says, أُهِينُ لَهُمْ نَفْسِي وَأُكْرِمُهَا بِهِمْ وَلَا تُكْرَمُ النَّفْسُ وَالَّتِي لَا تُهِينُهَا. He said, rahimahullah, I humble myself before them, the people of knowledge, and by doing so I honor myself. For a soul that does not humble itself can never truly be honored. Can never truly be honored. And there's some lines of poetry similar to the example that has preceded. Some of the scholars, they will say, الْإِلْمُ حَرْبٌ لِلْفَتَى الْمُعَالِي كَالسَّيْرِ حَرْبٌ لِلْمَكَانِ الْعَالِي. Knowledge clashes with the young arrogant person, just as the torrents of rain clash with the high ground. Clash with the high ground. Whenever there's rain coming down, it's flowing down, and then it comes to the high ground, then the water hits and clashes with that. And it stops and comes to, yani, it will come to a halt. And likewise, the knowledge for the person who is arrogant and proud, it will not mix, it will not take hold, it will not take root, it will not truly benefit a person. It will not truly benefit a person. It's been narrated from an Asma'i, rahimahullah. He said, "Man lam yahtamil dhul al-ta'allum sa'atan baqiya fi dhul al-jahl abada." Whoever does not bear the humiliation of learning for a moment will remain in the humiliation of ignorance forever. Will remain in the humiliation of ignorance forever. This is from the ways of the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge. As we have seen before, the people of knowledge, they say, الْإِلْمُ رَحِمٌ بَيْنَ أَهْلِهِ. That knowledge is like a rahim, بَيْنَ أَهْلِهِ, amongst his people. A rahim, who remembers what that means? Knowledge is like a rahim amongst his people. What is the rahim? Huh? The words in Arabic have a number of meanings, right? Huh? What do they say? Silatu rahim, right? Silatu ar-rahim, keeping ties of the relatives. The word ar-rahim really literally it means the womb. Literally it means the womb. But what is referred to here is the ties of kinship. The ties of kinship. So the knowledge is like a tie of kinship, like a father and son. A father and son, they have a tie of kinship. It's like that, the people of knowledge, they have a tie of kinship. And what brings them together, the bond that unites them, is not from their lineage, it's not from their blood lineage, but it's rather from knowledge. And there's lineage like that as well, and that's having a chain, being on the chain, having a teacher who had a teacher. Having a teacher who's reliable, who had a teacher who was reliable, who taught him someone who's reliable, who heard from someone who's reliable, all the way back to the reliable Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after that, to Jibreel, al-Amin, al-Ruh, al-Amin, the reliable, trustworthy Ruh, Jibreel alayhi salam, who heard it from Rabb al-Izzah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is a relationship that they have, a bond that they have, and it's a bond of mercy. It's a bond of mercy, because true knowledge is knowledge that is coupled with mercy. It's coupled with mercy. It cultivates mercy. And for this reason, the people of knowledge, whenever they would narrate narrations to a student, the first narration they would begin with many times was the hadith, who remembers? Arrahimuna yarhamuhum arrahman yarhamu man fil ardi yarhamkum man fil sama. Those who are merciful, the most merciful will show them mercy. Show mercy to those who are on earth, and the one who is above the heavens will show you mercy. Many of the scholars of hadith, they will narrate this narration first to their student. And that student, he will narrate to his students this narration first. And he will say, the first narration my teacher narrated to me was this narration I narrated to you. And that narration reached us in this manner. this chain like this, of being the first narration that was narrated to them. That was narrated to them, an indication that the relationship between the students and their teachers, between the teachers and the students, is a relationship of mercy. And it goes both ways. It goes both ways. In this manner, the high and lofty ranks are established by striving to learn the religion of the Most Merciful and the guidance of the Prophet of Mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have another narration from the biography of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Of Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah. When did he die? 181. Is it Qadima Abdullah ibn Mubarak marratan arraqqa wa biha Harun al-Rashid. فلما دخلها احتفل الناس به وازدحم الناس حوله فأشرفت أم ولد رشيد من قصر هناك فقالت ما للناس فقيل لها قادم رجل من علماء خراسان يقال له عبد الله بن مبارك فانتفل الناس إليه فقالت المرأة هذا هو الملك لا ملك هارون الرشيد الذي يجمع الناس عليه بالسوط والعصا والرقبة والرحبة. Abdullah ibn Mubarak رحمه الله once arrived in the Raqqa where Harun al-Rashid was also present. Harun al-Rashid رحمه الله, at that time he's the Khalifa, the Muslim ruler and authority of the entire Muslim empire. And Abdullah al-Mubarak, he come into town whenever he's there. And whenever he entered the city, the people, they flocked around him in great numbers, crowding around him. They seen him coming in the city and they crowding around him. They're crowding around him, flocking around him. And one of the servants, female servants of Harun al-Rashid, she looked out of the palace and she asked, what's wrong with the people? What's going on with the people? What's everybody doing outside? What is this commotion outside? So she was told, this is a scholar from Khurasan has arrived. His name is Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah. So the woman, she said, this is true kingship. This is true authority, not the authority of Harun Rashid. Yani the one who gathers the people behind him with the whip and with force, and by encouraging them or making them afraid, and the likes like this. My bride, encouraging them with money or with position or by scaring them, and the likes like this. Yani this is the way of the rulers. The rulers win the hearts in this manner, many times, like this, either with force or by encouraging the people with some type of worldly enticement or by threatening them and the likes like this. So then the people they follow. But she's saying here a great benefit. True authority and true leadership is in this manner, is that of knowledge, because the people, they love them and they love the people of knowledge and they honor them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, From the benefits, the author, he mentioned that we had read in the previous class, is that whenever the teacher, maybe sometime he will be harsh or he'll be rude, or sometimes maybe he will be what appears to the student to be harsh or appears to the student to be rude. Maybe sometimes he's actually like that. And maybe sometimes it only appears like that, but because of a lack of knowledge and insight, a person, he may misunderstand. So he mentioned that if the teacher is harsh, he will not be harsh. If the teacher is rude, he will not be rude. Rather, he will be kind and he will be courteous and he will deal with him for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And many times, those who are sincere and truthful, and those who are virtuous and noble, whenever they fall out of character, if they're dealt with properly, that will remind them. And they will feel shy. They will check their self. They will check their self and they will go straight. So sometimes if a person of nobility or of honor or of dignity or a person of knowledge and virtue, he may fall out of line or he may lose character for a moment and the likes like this. But if a person deals with him properly, then he will remember and he will feel shy and he will rectify that yani quickly bi idhnillahi ta'ala. So the point is that sometimes maybe the teacher will be rude or be harsh, and maybe there's a wisdom behind that, and maybe he's just having bad manners on that day and the likes like this. But in any case, a student is advised here to be patient. Some of the poets they mention, إِنَّ الْمُعَلِّمَ وَالطَّبِيبَ كِلَاهُمَا لَا يَنْصَحَانِ إِذَا هُمَا لَمْ يُكْرَمَا فاصبر لدائك إن جفوت طبيبه واقنع بجهلك إن جفوت معلمه. Indeed, both the teacher and the doctor will never give sincere advice if they are not honored. So be patient with your illness if you offend your doctor, and be content with your ignorance if you offend your teacher. So if somebody had a doctor and he's rude to his doctor, what do you think the doctor is going to do for him? Not too much. Maybe he's going to send him to another doctor. Maybe he's going to write him a prescription. who knows what's going to happen? The point is, yani, indeed, both the teacher and the doctor will never give sincere advice if they are not honored. So be patient with your illness if you offend your doctor, and be content with your ignorance if you offend your teacher. So, yani, to learn and to benefit a person, he must be patient. And it's a long road, and it's a long path. It doesn't require for a person to be patient one day or 2 days, but rather a lifetime. Seeking knowledge is a lifetime journey. So sometimes maybe his teacher will honor him in the greatest manner, and other times maybe his teacher will be short or preoccupied or busy, and the likes like this. And sometimes the teacher, he will actually be a little bit firm, and maybe compared to normal, he seems harsh whenever he puts things in proper places. But we have seen in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the origin is to be gentle, and the origin is to be kind, and the origin is to be courteous, and the origin is to be forbearing. But also there are certain circumstances when it's required to be firm. The origin is a person who will pardon and overlook, but sometimes it's not proper to pardon nor to overlook. Rather, that issue must be dealt with. Because if it's not dealt with, it's going to get worse. And some people, if you let them go, they will run you. And they will run the people. And they will take advantage to an extent that is blameworthy. So they have to be taken by the hand. Situations, sometimes they have to be stopped. They have to be checked. Somebody has to say something. So sometimes you have to tell people what they don't want to hear. And that's the right thing to do. And it's not truly being rude. Rather, it's just putting things in their proper place. If you remember before, we've seen a narration. Of Qatada, and how some person of nobility or virtue had punched his son, had slapped his son. And then whenever it came down to it, they took him to court, and now they're going to get their right back, and it's going to be qisas. Meaning that the man is going to stand there and take one, yani, eye for an eye, eye for an eye. So he let his son be prepared to get it. And the man he's thinking that he's going to take, yani, eye for an eye. So whenever he raised his hand and he's about to hit him and get his right back, at that time he stopped his son and he said, "We pardon you." And then it's mentioned here that innama al-afu ma'al qudra, that you only pardon whenever you have ability. So if somebody doesn't have ability and he says, "Oh, I pardon you," that's not pardoning, that's weakness. For example, if some big strong man came and slapped somebody, and then he's overpowering him, "Oh no, I pardon you. That's not pardon. That's cowardice, that's scared, and that's like he's incapable, he can't do anything. So that's not real pardon. Pardoning somebody is whenever you have the ability to execute and to get your right back. So once somebody has the ability to get the right back, then he pardons them, this is true pardoning. That's what the narration clarified. He didn't want to let the man go because he's taking advantage of the situation, of his authority, of his position, like he could just do people like they're nothing. So he didn't want to just let him have his right like that and continue to do that with the people where they taught him a lesson. So some people, they have to be taught a lesson. We understand that. So sometimes a teacher is teaching people a lesson. So sometimes the teacher has to teach the students a lesson so that this doesn't continue to happen in the classroom. In the classroom or in the lesson or in the dar, so on and so forth. So not everything that seems to be harshness is blameworthy, or not every type of firmness is blameworthy. No doubt it's not the origin, but sometimes when it's performed properly, this is true mercy. So وقد كان بعض السلف إذا ذهب إلى شيخه يقول اللهم اخفي عيب شيخي عني ولا تذهب ببركة علمه مني. That even to the extent, and because the scholar, even the teacher, he's not safe from
from error. So one of the salaf, they would make dua on the way to their class, "Oh Allah, conceal my teacher's faults from me and do not remove the blessing of his knowledge from me." The poet, he mentioned about this regard. فَقَسَ لِيَزْدَجِرُوا وَمَنْ يَكُوا حَازِمًا فَلْيَقْسُوا أَحْيَانًا عَلَى مَنْ يَرْحَمُوا عَلَى مَنْ يَرْحَمُوا فَقَسَ لِيَزْدَجِرُوا وَمَنْ يَكُوا حَازِمًا فَلْيَقْسُوا أَحْيَانًا عَلَى مَنْ يَرْحَمُوا. He was harsh so that they may take heed. And whoever is truly wise and firm with determination should sometimes be harsh with those whom he shows mercy. With those whom he shows mercy. So a person of the Sunnah, a person of Quran, he's not going to be a pushover. Somebody just get taken advantage of all of the time like that and say, "Oh no, the Prophet, he's the Prophet of mercy. Oh no, you have to be patient. Oh no, you have to be forbearing." That's right. You have to be patient. You have to be forbearing, but also you have to have determination. And also you have to be firm. And also you have to be wise. And from great wisdom is to put everything in its proper place. To put everything in its proper place. So sometimes somebody has to put their foot down in certain circumstances, or things will get out of line. And the outcome is not good. And the outcome is not good. So to be humble, and from that is to respect the teacher, and to know that the teacher is not safe from error, and to know that the teacher sometimes may be rude or may come out of character. So one, he must be able to be patient and to deal with that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And again, we have seen that the author, he's talking about the teacher, the one who has the characteristics and traits that have preceded, any from those noble and lofty traits. As for if a person, he had a teacher, and he started recognizing and noticing those traits that have preceded from those who are insincere when carrying knowledge or teaching the Quran, then he will flee from that teacher. He will find another teacher and say, "A'udhu billahi min fitnati amthali ha'ula." This is very important. And so if the teacher is harsh and rude, and it's apparent that he's insincere and the likes like this, abusing the trust, so on and so forth, now a person, he will not make excuses. He will not make these excuses. But as for a teacher, that when he sees from him that what is apparent is that he's good, this is what the people of knowledge, they're referring to be patient with him and to find an excuse for him and to continue to respect him, so on and so forth. It's been narrated from Ash-Shafi, rahimahullah. He died in the year 204. كان يختلف إلى أعمش ورجلان أحدهما كان الحديث من شأنه والآخر لم يكن الحديث من شأنه. That there are two men that used to visit Al-A'mash. Who is that? Sulaiman ibn Mihran, rahimahullah. He says two men that used to go to Amish. One of them was seriously committed to hadith and the other was not. And both of them, they go together. One of them was the diligent student of knowledge and the other one, he was not of that level. فغضب العامش يوما على الذي من شأنه الحديث فقال الآخر لو غضب علي كما غضب عليك لم أعود إليه. He says rahimahullah, one day Amash, he became very angry with the one who was focused on hadith, and the other man, he said, if he treated me like that, I would never come back to him. And he's watching his friend is diligent, seeking knowledge. And the teacher obviously was reprimanding him and a bit harsh with him. And then the other man, he said, "Wallahi, if you ever treated me like that, I'll never come back. I'll never come back." So then he said, فَقَالَ الْعَمَشِ إِذَنْ هُوَ أَحْمَقُ مِثْلُكَ يَتْرُكُ مَا يَنْفَعُهُ لِسُوءِ خُلُقِهِ. He said, then Amash, he told him, he said, then he would be a fool like you. If he did that, then he'll be a fool like you for leaving that which benefits him due to my bad manners. So sometimes what is the relationship? Al ilmu rahimu bayna ahli. Knowledge is a tie of relatives. But that sometimes when you truly love somebody and you have great love for them, and they get out of line or they mess up or they make a mistake, sometimes the dad he gets a little bit tough. He gets a little bit tough on his son. And he loves him a lot, and he's getting out of line, and maybe he fears for him, and the likes like this, and maybe somebody who's not as close to him might do the same thing, and he doesn't show as much concern, because he's not as close. So it's not befitting, the thing is not befitting in the first place, but this person, he does it, it's normal for him, he's a layman. But him, he's drawing close, he's seeking knowledge, he's striving day in and day out, he's coming to class, and then I see you running with that dude over there, oh man, come over here, I'm about to talk to you. come over, I'm about to talk to you. And he's gonna be a little bit harsh with him. And he was not harsh with him. That's because he's close to him and he loves him, and he's not close to him and doesn't love him. This is the way that a father is sometimes. You understand that? Why he did this to him and not him. But the point is that if the student is going to make these type of excuses, he's going to realize these affairs, that inshallah, if what is known from the teacher is khair, then he only wants good. Because the teacher is only trying to clarify the deen of Allah so that people establish that in their life. This is the origin for a teacher of the Quran and the Sunnah. A teacher of the Quran and Sunnah. Shafi'i narrates another narration. Rahimahullah, he says, قِيلَ لِسُفْيَانِ بْنْ عُيَيْنَ إِنَ قَوْمًا يَأْتُونَكَ مِنْ أَقْطَارِ الْأَرْضِ تَغْضَبُ عَلَيْهِمْ يُشِكُ أَنْ يَذْهَبُوا وَيَتْرُكُوكَ فَقَالَ لِلْقَائِلِ هُمْ حَمْقَى إِذًا مِثْلُكَ إِذَا تَرَكُوا مَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ لِسُوءِ خُلُقِ. Similar story. He says that Shafi, Rahimahullah, he says that Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he was told, people come to you from all over the ends of the world and you get angry with them. You get upset with them. He said that they might leave you and abandon you. They might not come visit you anymore or seek knowledge or learn from you. He replied to them that they are fools like you if they abandon what benefits them because of my bad character. Because of my bad character. So, and Allah knows best, they're the best of the people, the best of character, the best of the scholars of Hadith, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, and the likes that's in Amish. But it's mentioned that sometimes they would get upset with the students, and they would see the students acting out of line, or they would see the students running through the streets and the likes like this, not having the behavior of students of knowledge, running through the streets and raising their voices and talking out loud, or being in the marketplaces acting like they're laymen and the likes like this. So maybe the teacher's going to check them and be a little bit upset with them. This is in reality mercy for them and disciplining them. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.